Well, can you just let us know a little bit more about who you are and your story, I guess, for those who haven't met you yet?
Oh, just a lot of the guys heard the lengthy story, but Julie and I got married. This is we're 46 years together. We have two children. I have another son from a previous relationship, which didn't work out. But we have two great children who are 43 and 40, yes. Something I could get it right. Julie will know the exact numbers. And we have altogether, there's six grandkids with my other son, but also our own children. We have four great-grandchildren. They love God. And it's wonderful to hang out with. So that's us, been in ministry over 40 years. We came on board. We got into church. We love church. You love something, you want to do something, yep, not just sit there and be a spectator. So we got straight on board, got involved, serving, leading a connect group, been leading a connect group over 40 years. Still do that now. Don't want to be disconnected, even though we travel a lot, but we still want to have input into our own local church, even though we are away most weekends ministering elsewhere.
That's so cool. Wow. And just really briefly, what has it been like traveling for over 40 years with Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle? We're about to talk about the movement, but yeah, how's that journey been?
Oh, it's great. It's been, well, again, you develop relationships, you develop friendships. So again, doing everything together, I think we've learnt so much collectively. And, you know, Phil's a great man of God and Chris is just a fun bubble, so she's awesome and a great woman of God. But again, you just develop friendships that we actually want to improve the friendships to empower, I guess, where we were the church, then the movement, is actually to stand shoulder to shoulder. And by doing that, we can actually help each other, help the people we're choosing to serve, which is our pastors, our leaders, and our movement, and beyond.
Wow. And I think just for those who might be new to our church, so we are part of what we call our C3 movement, which is a global family of over 600 churches now around the world. And we're going to get to the prophetic soon, but I just thought I'd love to ask you, what do you love about C3 and maybe what stands out to you from our culture?
Authenticity. I think this is what I love about these two. You have great pastors, by the way, great lead pastors here. Dan and Ebony, who are excellent. Like, if I was that sharp and smart at your age, I'd be a lot further ahead. But I think authenticity is one thing which just stands out to me, is that people can be, whether they're ministering, whether they're in the congregation, you can be you. You don't have to be something. You don't have to put on your Sunday suit clobber, you know, your gear for Sunday. Dress up. Well, it's up to you. You be you. And that's one thing I've loved about. I loved also, too, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in our meetings. If you feel the presence, Jesus is present, so that's an indicator. And again, also the expectation of hope that God can do anything if we are on the front foot in faith.
Come on, that is so cool. I love being part of C3, and I just got to ask, I have to just take the chance, one more before we get into the prophetic. And yep. I guess for me, the longer I'm a Christian and serve the Lord, the more I aspire to finish my journey well. And I've just learned if there's something to honour, it is longevity. And I just want to take this chance. So yourself and Julie, you've been in ministry for over 40 years, which is incredible. You've been through ups and downs, highs and lows. I guess what would just be one or two quick thoughts of how are you guys still in the race? Why do you still love Jesus and love his church after 40 years?
Yeah, your home is a reflection of your future. And I think in ministry, if we don't, we take a lot of things. I'm a handful to manage. Ask Julie. She's got a booth out there.
There's some nods on the front
ask
row.
Questions,
yes.
About
okay.
All my little interesting isms. But to me, I think longevity in ministry is a byproduct of having longevity of coming through the challenges of relationship, of marriage, of family, etc. So your home is a reflection of your ministry future. So I think in everything, we cannot underestimate the power of that. Does it need work? My word. You know, you think I'm so in love with your spouse when you get married, and you are, and you should be. But again, as you go on, you suddenly realize they're different. I never thought Julie would be different. And I knew exactly what Julie should be like. But I discovered she was not.
Okay.
But as I said to the guys yesterday, learn to love the difference. And I think to do ministry well, you've got to do ministry well together as a couple. That takes a lot of work, as ministry takes work. Marriage takes more, but you have good outcome, or the fruit of ministry comes out of the fruit of your own personal walk with the Lord, with your spouse, and with your family.
Wow. Can we please give a hand for Julie and Greg? Wow. So you would have heard earlier, so our theme for the year is Equip the Saints, which has been so loved by our church. It's been amazing. And I thought I'd just quickly read. So Ephesians 4, 11 to 12 says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip," everyone say equip, "his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." And I thought, like the teaching Pastor John, I guess, has been given our church, Greg, is that all of us will be drawn and feel called to one or probably actually two of those streams. And I'd love to ask you, when you think of those five, which ones do you feel drawn to and the Lord's called you gift-wise?
It's definitely the prophetic. Prophetic and in the pastoring. I think if pastoring's not in us, because it's all about people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got a great ministry. Well, it's great. But, you know, I'm not good with people. I go, well, don't bother doing ministry. And people go, oh, I've got this great gift, but I'm not good with people. I'm going, well, you better change something.
Yes.
So I think going back to the heart of it, if it's had to say, identify, that would be the prophetic. And having a pastor's heart, knowing this, but by nature, I'd rather steamroll people to get them to understand my point than listen to them.
Right.
That's my nature, yep. But I've learned to be a good pastor. Because it says that in the book of Acts, where Paul, addressing the elders at in Ephesus, he said, you know, in all that, ensure that you are good shepherds of the sheep, you know, as the Spirit, as God asks you to be. So I think we learn to do that. So we need to be good with people. And then I think truly, when you have a heart for people, then you discover the trueness of your gifting. And for me, it lies very much in the supernatural and in the prophetic.
So cool. And I think so what we're discussing, and I know we talked about it a bit last week, is that in each of these five streams that we're talking about maturity and ministry. And so in the maturity area is that we all are called.
Why do you look at me like that when you say the word mature?
Oh.
You've got a problem? You've got a problem, Dan.
I love it. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, anyway. where do you want me to look?
Please.
So we're talking today about how we can all mature in things like hearing God's voice,
yep,
having a passion for his presence, and that's something that we're all called to. But then, as you said, you feel like when it comes to ministry, we'll all feel a particular call or burden towards one or two. And I just want to be fun. Just give me a quick wave. Who feels prophetic would be in your top two that you're drawn to, you're passionate about, you love? So good. And maybe by the end of the series, more of you might actually feel called to that. But can I ask you, why do you value the prophetic?
Oh, because it actually, again, you know, it's very clear in reading Scripture. We won't go through all of those. But it's there to encourage. It's there to actually give you hope in challenging moments. It's there to, again, to give you the perseverance to keep pushing on. And it's also knowing that I'm in the right spot. You know, righteousness is finding right standing. And I think the prophetic helps us align ourselves, have confidence and faith in where we're positioned.
That's amazing. And I don't know if you remember this. I reminded you on Friday. Greg was actually the first person who prophesied over me that I was going to plant a church. And so,
what was it? Was it any good?
I think it was. So, and that was like 8 years ago. And so I love when you're saying, why do we value the prophetic? Well, it's, man, when God uses someone to speak to us, it can literally shift our destiny. And I remember after that prophecy, I listened to it for years and years, and I just felt this real stirring in me.
Do you forgive me?
Nearly. No, just joking. Of course, no. And so I guess if we just start talking about maturity, so we all are called to hear the voice of God. So how can we mature and grow personally in just hearing God's voice?
I guess, you know, in everything, when people are always, especially in the Pentecostal movement, and I'd like to get, like, Pentecost was a moment. It's an expression we believe in the presence and the power of God. I'd love to tie that into not, oh, who are you? Or are you a Pentecostal, charismatic? Are you? No, look, I'm a Jesus person who loves the presence of God and loves to follow his leading. So in hearing the voice of God, my goal is to gain clarity concerning what God is saying personally to me or to other people, which you develop into maturity in the prophetic over years. It doesn't happen overnight. But in there, I think an important part is that, you know, always think of Psalm 46, verse 10, which says, be still and know that I am God. And even the way that is written is a unique and important part to developing any gift, developing that relationship with God, developing hearing God. Because it says, be still, and in the English punctuation, it has a comma, then it goes, and then know. Now, in the Hebrew, it's not written that way. It's like two statements, be still. But most theologians and scholars would say, as the comma to us in our English is a pause, there also, it has been written in the Hebrew, that there is a pause. To be still is to settle so that you can prepare yourself to be able to hear, to know. But you can't hear unless you're in a position of knowing. And knowing is the Lord is here. The greatest thing is when you, as I said, when you're in a church, and I travel to many churches, when I feel the presence of God, it is a reassurance that the Lord is here. Jesus is here. That presence is an indicator that he is present. That gives me the confidence then to move into whatever ministry aspect or expression may be in that service for those people. So I think a big thing is learning to be still, and that takes time. Prayer in Pentecost is brrr, for 1 hour, that's it, and, you know, for whatever period of time. And that's it. There's no stopping. It's like motoring through the prayer time. Brrr, amen, hallelujah, declaration, speaking in tongues. And God goes, hop, hop. Oh, I wanted to say something, but I couldn't get a word in edgewise. So you've got to actually stop. And I think we built in Pentecost that we have to be so proactively filling every bit of space with word, is that we need to find space. And that scripture says to me really clearly is that if I am still long enough, I settle, my receptors are more open, and now I am more positioned to be able to hear. And when people say, well, why don't you hear? What about if you don't hear anything when you're doing that and you've learned to do that? I said, you're either doing one or two things. One thing, you are so far from God that he can't speak to you. Or you're so on the money, he doesn't need to. So if you're looking for a word all the time, now we're going to have a great night tonight. And God will speak to different people, but he won't speak to everybody. He never speaks to me when I'm speaking to other people, and I get a bit disappointed with that sometimes. But in all of this, just be assured, have the faith to be confident that, you know, as I said, righteousness is being rightfully positioned, having the knowledge and the faith that I'm right before God. Having a sense of knowing that I'm in relationship with God occurs because I've given space and time to settle in my prayer time every day. So you develop an ear to hear. And it is, as it wonderfully is illustrated in the Old Testament with the prophets, is that God speaks to us in a whisper. He never yells or shouts. So if things are too loud around us, if our heads are too busy, if the noise factor and things around are too much, we don't hear. So we need to improve our ability to hear in the area of moving in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and actually stepping out of the Spirit into doing great things or having great steps of faith. You need to be able to hear and have the confidence you've heard to take the action needed.
I absolutely love what you just shared about you got to develop your ear to hear. Mm-hmm. And probably what I'm hearing there is, so before we even think about using our gifts and hearing the Lord for others, I'm hearing that I actually got to first learn how to develop my ear to hear personally.
Correct.
Can I quickly ask, what habits would you have in your world that I guess allow you to hear God's voice and develop
bad habits.
Your personal...
A whole lot of bad habits. You want me to spill them out here?
If you want.
No. I just think, you know, again, is that stillness. Like even you don't have to be, you know, always speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a powerful part of our experience in Pentecost. But in there too is that, again, I really, like lying on your bed, I don't have to be, you know, in the middle of the night, I wake up maybe a number of times, but in the night, I think about things, pardon me, a scripture comes to me, or I can just feel God. And in that moment, without doing anything, I can be very content that I'm in that place with God. So to me, in there, the prayer, the word, all very important part. But I think we need to refine and improve and mature in our ability to hear, because we've taken time out to pause, to give him space and time to speak, and then read what has been spoken to interpret, but what is not spoken to be content that I'm okay.
I feel like we should give a hand for that. How helpful. I love that. So good. So I guess we're developing our own ear to hear personally. I know you shared a line with me about encouragement. And just before we talk about how do you see encouragement and the prophetic? Are they linked? Are they similar? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Great. Well, I think, you know, and I've heard people say, like, you know, I want to move in here. I feel like I'm called to be this and I've got this gift. Well, I always like to think there's always some action, some expression in God through us, which is the beginning, the infancy of developing into a greater expression of that.
Yeah.
And I would say that encouragement is the rawest form of the prophetic. And people, again, who want to be moving into the prophetic world, and there's a difference between having the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet. Even though the office of a prophet can personalize or be to a greater community or crowd. But in there, I think encouragement is something, and I've been asked this in different panels and in different denominations as well, is that if I had a church, the one thing I'd love is to actually have a culture of encouragement. It's not left to the people with the gift or with the expression who's on their journey to become a prophetic individual. But I'd rather say, no, this is the culture. Because as I was sharing with some of the team, the most powerful person is to come into the church is the first person on the door. Because that first impressions are most powerful. And people will get a read on the church by the person they meet at the front door or the very first person out in the courtyard, out, way out. You go, well, why am I stuck out here? Because you're the first line and you are the face of what that person will think of here. They will not measure it according to the worship of the word. They'll measure it. I met a really neat guy, really great couple on my way in. I'm enjoying this already. And the rest was a bit shabby, but you know. But I enjoyed that encounter, and that's what we need to get. So in the prophetic, an atmosphere, and we talk about there's atmospheres in churches of the prophetic, it means there's an ease because when you are encouraged, there's a lift and expectancy. So then God can do anything. So to me, the prophetic moves out of a person because you are an encourager by nature, have learnt and trained yourself to be a point of encouragement always, which then releases, improves and matures the gifts into that it can move quite accurately in many areas.
Wow, I love it. So encouragement is the rawest form
of
the prophetic. And so is it fair to say, I'd love to ask how, so what I'm hearing is maybe not everyone has the gift of prophecy, but would you feel that everyone can have the gift of encouragement?
I can. When Paul says all can prophesy, I think he's giving reference to, obviously, to the gift and giving space and giving the correctness of delivery. But also in there too, I would always think, and when you read, be an encourager, all the rest of it, as it's broken down, encouragement is in all of those words written in the New Testament and the Old. So to me, I'm going, yep, definitely.
So if someone's sitting here going, Greg, I love the idea of growing in encouragement, but they were saying, yes, but how? Mm-hmm. How can we be encouraging people? And if someone's like very new to it or it's not their nature, because obviously some people it's their nature, right? They're mm-hmm. born encouraging their mum from day one. Yeah, that sounded weird. But anyway, but why would – that was me. Good job, mum.
Love it. Go.
How can we grow in that gift? We'll get to the prophetic, but just how can we be great encouragers? And I love what you're saying about the culture. Well, that's our heart here.
Yeah, I think encouragement starts with a smile. You know, I like, and people say, I'm in church. How are you today? Well, I go, good, but thanks very much. I'll find someone else. So to me, I think when people say, look, I can't smile, I go, you're born to smile. And honestly, if people want to move down this path, and simple thing, even to encouragement, the rawest form of encouragement is a smile. So it's like learning to smile. And guess what? People are drawn to people who are happy people. You know, like I've met so many great people here already. And just up here, you know, like when we're seeing Ash leading worship. I mean, she could mime. She could go through. But her, she's effervescent. Like, again, and I've met Tiani out there today and Mahala. And, like, these are fun bubble people.
Come on.
But they haven't done anything. They're just smiling. And I could be touched by God without you singing a note. Wow. Just because of her smile. So the point of introduction to encouragement, the rawest form of encouragement of a good encourager is someone has learnt to smile. And when you meet someone, it's like, how are you today? Good. Oh, there's Ash. Hey, hi. People are looking for the first point of introduction, which is our smile. So practice smiling. Yep. The next thing is learn to improve your ability to create connections. And, you know, we all have this. When you see someone, you say, how are you today? Oh, I'm great. I'm fantastic. And they're off. You've started. You've done well. But then you run into other people. So how was your day? Good. Okay. So what's your name? John. All right, John. So you enjoy church. I don't think we've learnt and worked hard enough to actually improve our people skills.
Wow.
And I think we have to learn, and you have to be prepared. What do you have in your relational toolbox of questions to ask people that maybe they're not feeling comfortable, they don't feel to give too long a dialogue or even go into any dialogue? Is it, what have I learned? What questions? So what about your family? Where do you work? Are you local? That's all I do. And when people start to feel that you are interested in their world, they begin to chat. And when they begin to chat, you then are looking for points of, yeah, and kids, and how old are your kids? And, oh, do they go to school? And, yes, and as soon as they go, well, what school do they go to? And then it must meet them. Like, I love kids. Like, I see all the little people here today, it's a little brave, and see all the little kids. I love hanging out with kids. But if you show interest even to a parent, that you show interest to their children, you've won the parents. So all of these are just normal life skills. And I think we need to keep working on them, especially in church, because people on the outside coming to church have not necessarily had relational encounters that have been positive. Yeah. And even in churches. But I'd say that even in C3, but it shouldn't be just C3, it just should be the church, is that it should be a place where someone said, I don't know what happens, but I feel better because I met a number of people who smiled at me, encouraged me, and I just, by conversation, feel great. I might come back next week. And that's where God says, I can now touch them because you've been an ambassador, you've been Christ-like, and you're doing how I would approach it. So let's not put a somber religious tone face on and dress accordingly. Be bright, be bubbly, be you.
Come on.
And when the you comes out, because when you're mixing the Holy Spirit in here, baby, he doesn't want to be restricted. He wants to have fun.
Yeah.
And he is into enjoying heaven. Remember, holy in itself, one of its expression, again, as it was written in the Aramaic and the Hebrew, that one of the meanings of the word holy is to be happy. So when it says, as God is holy, as God is happy, so are my people to be happy. So don't throw the holy thing on noose beyond one thing. Embrace the bigness of the word holy, and happiness is in there. Wait a minute. Amen, brother and sister. Sorry, I just had to do that.
I love this.
I don't
this.
Normally talk like that, but you know, I just thought I'd throw that in.
I love this, Greg.
I don't have any religion in me, you see.
No, you don't.
Didn't grow up that way.
It's good. And I'll never forget, Greg, I heard this thought that changed my mindset. It said, people will often forget what you say, but they will never forget how you made them feel.
Boom.
And what I love about this isn't a role or a title. You and I can do this every single week in
That's
the house
great.
Of God. And I love what you said. It opens the door for people to connect with the Lord. And so I think, why don't we all, give me a way, who thinks they can work and go, hey, I'm happy to be an encourager in the house of God. I love that. I think we should all grow in that. I love that culture.
Yep.
But we're going to shift gears here, I guess. So if someone goes, all right, I do feel a call to the gift of the prophetic,
mm-hmm.
How can we develop this gift in a healthy and great way.
Well, I guess, you know, just what we've been talking about, it sort of is the beginning, is that start with encouragement, start to smile, start to move towards people, start to want to get to invest in someone else's life. It's like ministry. You know, ministry in itself is that, especially again in Pentecost, we think ministry in itself through Pentecost is just when we say laying on of hands, is it's about impartation. It's not the byproduct or the end result. You know, Pentecost can lean to people have to fall down to be imparted to. People can get healed standing up, falling down. It's irrelevant. Yeah. To me, it's the intention and the heart that you carry. So when you're talking about moving in the Spirit, growing and developing in the area of the prophetic, I'd say you just have to constantly go back, keeping your heart in a sweet spot. I think you can smile, you can laugh, you can. But again, if your heart isn't engaged in that conversation, if your heart is carrying a weight in there, what's in you travels into other people. It may go through the push through the veil of the encouragement, the smile, but what comes out is not really the product you need to develop. So to me, in every ministry expression, in the prophetic especially, because it is vocal in most cases, is that the words which come out, and it's never what you say, it's the tone in which it's carried. And I think the prophetic says more through the tone in what it is delivered than necessarily always the words which are spoken. Wow. Keep developing the heart. You find the heart in the sweet spot, in the God space, in the quiet moments. All of that leads to a maturity in the gift, but also a presentation which brings what we're about, is bringing change to people's life to actually deliver what God wants to, which is his heart. Goes back to 3:16, it's all there.
And what would you say, I know you've been around church for decades, what would be some mistakes you might see? So someone feels a call or a gift in the prophetic, what are some mistakes, I guess, you've or common mistakes you've seen people make when they're, I guess, yeah, learning how to use that gift in the house?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing, and, you know, just because there's so many things, but one thing that stands out when you say that, and I hear this sometimes, when you're having a conversation with somebody and you know they're having a conversation, maybe a strong conversation or a directional conversation, and they said, oh, God has spoken to me. So I'm just letting you know. So do you think I should do this? I should do that? I go, my hands are tied. Because you're throwing the God card, Trump yes. card on the table. Yep. You've already said Trump. You know, that's not Donald Trump. I'm just saying
the Trump
know,
card.
I've trumped your response. Just make sure you get that right. But you know what I'm saying is that people tie your hands. They're looking for advice, and I feel God has said this to me. What do you think, Pastor? Well, what are you hoping to say? I'm Pastor. He's God. So then, to me, sometimes people use the God card, and they only use it because they know it binds people's opinion, thoughts or views. And it also, too, I think, keeps people in a very immature place. Instead of saying, what do you think? You might feel God is saying this, but let it be affirmed and confirmed, as it says in Scripture, by two or three. Yes. You bring it to them to see whether it aligns to what you think. Then have the conversation. So I'd say that would be the number one point from what you've said, is that when we're having conversation, let's not drop God in the middle of it, because the conversation is now closed because you've said, well, I feel God has called me to do this. So.
I guess just last question, then I'll give you a chance just to share any final thoughts. But so the Bible says to eagerly desire the gifts. And I guess something we can all mature in, which is the prophetic stream of just being hungry for the presence of God, and I guess, and to eagerly desire to prophesy, Paul said. So, yeah, if we're maybe here, we kind of feel that gift's in us, but we just haven't got that passion or that desire in us. What would you say to someone in that situation? How do we keep that fire, passion, desire alive in our heart?
Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame. Then I think it takes work to develop anything. To be a great soccer player, great tennis player, if you don't train, it doesn't happen. People have got a natural giftedness, and they are brilliant. But today we see, just for the sake of the tennis world, most of these tennis stars may have had a giftedness, but they didn't just live out of their giftedness. They lived out of a consistency of training, building, developing, spending time, rubbing shoulders with other people who have been an expert or have done well in their field. They keep developing themselves. They're open and they're teachable. And when you are moving in the gift, people can start to prize as their gift develops that I am so good, that I'm beyond. You've hit a point, you're going to start going backwards. Wow. I want to keep growing in the gift by remaining humble, remaining teachable, and that's the word. Any gifts operation or expression comes out of a teachable spirit, which is a humility of heart, because you're not there to show everybody you have a gift. You're there to bring change to a person's life because you feel the heart of God to see that person's life change.
Wow, that's a clap moment. That is years of wisdom. I'd love to invite the band.
You're such an encourager, Dan. I feel fantastic.
Oh, that's good. Just practicing it in real time. But I guess we're in a moment. We're actually going to have a moment of the prophetic. But I guess, would there be any final thoughts or words for those who feel that calling towards the gift of the prophetic?
I'd say pursue it. Rub shoulders with those people who operate in it. And again, go back to the basics. Keep working on the basics. Keep working on your people skills. Keep smiling. Keep encouraging other people. Allow the naturalness of your personality and who you are, because it's not about us, it's about them. And I want to improve, allow my gift to actually improve someone else's position and place, not just develop my ability that my gift is growing. God bless you, but your gift is growing for others, not for your self-recognition or personal honour.
The motive is love, right? The motive is love.
That's exactly
for people.
Right.
Wow. Well, I think right now, why don't we just lean into a bit of a...
Sure.
What do you use the language of? Show and tell. Come on.
Show and tell.
Show and
Come
tell,
on.
And Pastor Greg.
And we're tonight going to, you know, like the whole evening is just to be... And I can't... there's different expressions of the... And you might... I'm going to step down, so... I'm coming down to where the where the people are. Sorry, Dan, I've loved having a conversation with you, but that's it. I felt I'm exhausted.
I'll just sit here by myself.
I'm done
actually.
And dusted. But tonight I'll go into a little bit more explanation. But there's different expressions, pardon me, of the prophetic. Now I'm watching that clock on the wall, right? And as all the lights flash and a siren goes off, Tobias stands up. Got it. I got it. I know how this little sucker works. But in here, you know, and in a millisecond, you know, I've learned over the years to walk with God, to hear from God, to step out. I'm not a pre-planner. In some cases, I feel to be a pre-planner, but in most cases, I feel to be in the spur of the moment. That's where my faith and moves, probably in the prophetic. And I'm going to talk more about this tonight, the different expressions. So I'll just show you a couple of them. And... Tobias, I'll never miss anything here, will I? 905 and 905, there, I can't miss it anywhere. You're a legend, man. I tell you are pretty amazing. Very. I told him he was gold. I'm going to talk to you tonight. No time this morning, sorry. You're not smiling enough. Hey, we met here earlier on. Trex. Wait a minute, I could have got a word of knowledge. Love to meet you guys. And your... son was up there, and your daughter-in-law is here. What a great family you've got. And this here, like, when I see, okay, this is part of the different expressions of the prophetic. I said there's a scripture, there's a picture, there's an image. This is a picture and an image. And when I saw you earlier on, I thought, nice people. And I don't stay with it, nice person. So, Lord, what are they about? I'm not looking for it. I'd rather find the moment. The moment is now, what I saw with you. And you told me you're about 2 hours from here. You're involved in a church, which is awesome. But I feel irrespective of where you are and whatever happens in the future or wherever you land in the future, let me leave that with you. Because it has been a point of conversation. And it is a good conversational point. And it's an important point. But I want to bring it to the point I want to leave with you, and it said your home is a place where people will come in, and that you will, because you have a discipleship ability to raise and develop individuals because they feel the power of your belief. And I see you sitting at a table, sitting around people just there asking questions, and you've been so lovingly serving, and but they're feeling God's love because you are the trueness of discipleship comes out of who you are. And what you have seen, a fruit in which you have seen over the years, is nothing in what could be. There it is, could be. Very interesting point. I'm not here to say where you are, what should be, where you should be playing. It's not for me to say, your decision, even though you have had those decisions and conversations many times. Do not let them drag on forever. But the reality is, the decision is wherever you are planted and choose to be, your home will be a place where people's lives shall be transformed, because they shall experience God and they shall know that this is the place, these are the people that we can trust. And those that have been broken, and trust has been, again, many times broken in their relationships, their upbringing. You shall reestablish something which reestablishes an understanding that in relationships, trust can be and will be a part of their future, because it had been robbed of them when they were young. You shall reestablish that as a couple. Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry. Got to have fun. 6 minutes and 4 seconds. Oh, sorry, Tobias fell over. Accidental. How did that happen? Sorry, buddy. Didn't mean that to happen. How are you? Good. I'm great. You're the photographer. Come out here, photographer. Oh, you're taking pictures of people. How's it looking? Oh, the camera's gone. Grab the camera. I'm not asking you to take a photo. You're a great person, aren't you? Wow. Now, this is interesting. Over here, as I said, one prophetic expression is that when you're moving in the prophetic, that you're actually seeing, when I look at you, I can see you in the context of your house, in your lounge room, around a table. Here, I see as an illustration. And I asked this, and now I know who this is for. Ooh, solid one. You found a new Bible. I'm going to ask you to stand up there. Come here, just go around there. Keely, you look like a Keely too. And you'll probably say, well, what's a Keely look like? Just like you. I love that. But you've got a camera, you're capturing moments. I love this, you're capturing moments. And again, you are doing something very practical, but it has a very spiritual, I guess, expression and outworking of it, because you're capturing moments in time. And people forget things in time. It's a wonderful thing to have a point. Remember that time when we went, and you go back now into your phone, and my wife's phone has 30,000 photos. Honey, remember that? She said, let's find that photo. 4 hours, 35 minutes later, oh, let's just move on. Too much information. But I see in you, and the illustration is, and it comes out of that in the Bible, again, in the prophetic, there was a gentleman by the name of Agabus in the book of Acts. And you can see him, he was identified as a prophet, speaking as into the of a famine which will come upon the land in Acts 11. But in verse 21, he comes up to Paul and takes the belt from Paul and he wraps it around his hands and said, the man who owns this belt shall be bound. He's using an illustration. The prophetic is not just all words. It can be demonstrated through an illustration. And what he is doing, but what I'm saying, for when I saw you with the camera, you're capturing not just moments for social media. God wants you to simply say this, that he has taken a photo of you and sees you perfectly framed before him as being the beautiful person that he has created. And that in your beauty, your expression and your heart is the trueness of his heart for others. And you will capture the hearts of people. And we were talking about encouragement. Do not underestimate your voice, by the way. Do not just be one who takes and captures a moment. Be a person who actually speaks into a person's life, because you do have the prophetic upon you. But you must do one thing. I'll take that camera. Thank you very much. Stand on that thing there. Wait a minute. What's this? It's a Bible. What? Haven't seen one of those for a while. Stand on that. Funny, isn't it? We used to all have Bibles everywhere. And you leave your Bible here, leave your Bible there. Then you knew all the people in the old days who actually weren't reading their Bible, because they left their Bibles at church. You must stand on the Word of God to believe in what I've said. The action is, the illustration is that you capture the wonderful moments in people's lives. And again, people, when they know they're being photographed, you know, we try to get the saggy chins, the wrinkles, try to get the right thing, pull in the suck in the gut. You know, when a photo's been taken, we're trying to look fantastic. But God just wants to see who you are. You capture the very essence of what and what you see through the lens of a camera is how God sees the people you're taking photos of. Here's a reminding that taking a photo is not just doing a job, it's capturing a moment. But your life will capture the moment of so many because there is far more in you, Keely, and you have so much more to offer, and you're on a wonderful journey of discovery. But you must stand on the Word of God. What is that illustration about? It's simply you've got to believe what the Word says is you, and the Word says you are a woman of God. You are loved by God, and the fullness of who you are is in God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wait a minute. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, wait a minute. You may go back to your camera. 1 minute. So tonight, we're just going to keep developing this and going through it all. But I really want you to understand that it's not a show. I mean, this is me. This is, you know, ask my wife. I'm like this at home. When there's two of us, I entertain her like this. It's my job. She said, if you're not, you know what's going to happen. When we got married, she said, I married you for three things. Your blonde curly hair. Your blue eyes. And your sense of humor. But remember this, you've lost one. Two out of three is passable, but one out of three is not going to cut it. I've got the blue eyes, they're going anywhere. So I've got to keep working on my sense of humor. And can I tell you, that is something you have to intentionally work on. You're outside, hey guys, how are you? I'm going to church now, going to church. Hi, guys, how are you? Oh, I just went to church. You shouldn't be like that. That's not a reflection of church. The greatest thing is when people see you smile. And can I tell you, on this church, and I'll prophesy into this church tonight in regards to the future of what will be, and I'll put my hat as the office of a prophet on and speak into the fabric of this church. But what I want to do, what I'm doing now, is using my gifting in the prophetic is to identify the needs of people. And the things that you can't change, the things in which you cannot see, for that which is unseen to you, God is doing far more behind your back than in front of your face. And what you cannot see, you cannot measure according to what He is doing. You just have to trust Him. But wait a minute. Where is God? Where is God for me? Is He really there? He is there, and He is working on your behalf. Far more behind your back than you can see before your face, in Jesus' name. And He smiles on you. You need to embrace that. I'm going to close and hand it back to Pastor Dan. But can we all stand? Tobias, I'm sorry about your iPad that now it's broken. My apologies, but the Lord will forgive you and provide something supernatural. Stand in faith and do your own work. Close your eyes, church. Father, I thank you that the beauty of coming to the house of God and never becoming familiar with the house, that you are present here. Lord, I love this place. I love these people. I love Dan and Ebony and the wonderful team around them. Why? Because they're your people who have a heart for you. But Lord, I thank you that in this house, your heart is immersed in all that is done, the decisions, the conversations, the outlook, the vision. But in Jesus' name, I thank you that the greatest gift that you have given us was the gift of salvation. And I know Pastor Dan is going to speak to you in just a moment, church. But I say this to you. The greatest thing that could happen to anybody in that moment of time is to allow Him, Jesus, to give you what he has given his life for, which is the gift of life and the future in which you deserve. So in Jesus' name, we pray that your life, your name shall be exalted in our midst here this morning.
Amen. Church, can we please give a massive hand?